Welcome to Windows on the World, coming to you from the United Kingdom. Yes, the weather here is very good for this time of year. It took a long time to get to this stage because it's been pretty cold here all year so far with the odd warm day. But the bank holiday weekend has just been upon us and people are out enjoying themselves, not even properly social distancing. Yes, there was lots of people still out on the Kent coast today when I went out for a swim. So yes, people are enjoying themselves despite the lockdown. Of course, we have political controversies here in the United Kingdom with Dominic Cummings going out to see his parents. This has become rather a big issue as nobody's meant to be going anywhere to see anybody. The biggest kind of concentration of resistance to this so far is in Wales, because at the best of times, they don't like people visiting them. And it's given them a great excuse not to let the English in. But of course, this is all narrow-mindedness. And we do have quite a lot of that in the UK at the moment. I'm just looking at the World Economic Crisis on Global Research today. And it said, in the first 4 months of this so-called World Health Organization-dominated pandemic, we see a global disaster of proportions far exceeding those of 29 to 33 and 2008-9. Never in recorded human history has so much misery been created. Now, a lot of people are still going around with their heads in the sand in the UK, and they think we're going to be going back to normal. Well, they keep telling us that there is a new normal, and that new normal is absolutely everywhere. Once you go into the cities, you start seeing this social distancing. There are basically circles being drawn on the ground for people to stand in. I've got some absolutely incredible images from the BBC of this social distancing psychological operation, which is exactly what it is. But this is incredible. We've got BBC showing pictures of masked humans in a lift facing the wall, staring at themselves in mirrors in the World Trade Center in Sri Lanka. Big circles drawn on the floor in Domino Park, Brooklyn. A stuffed panda is placed on a chair opposite you as a means to enforce social distancing at restaurants in Bangkok in Thailand. Basically, and someone is sat at a table with cardboard cutouts around them, all 2 metres apart. This was in Sydney, Australia. It says the restaurant is also playing taped background chatter to create ambience. Of course, this is because restaurants are only allowed to be at 25% of their capacity. And then we get to flying. I've seen some ridiculous and very disturbing photographs of what's happening on planes. I'm going to be finding out more about this tomorrow because I want to know what the situation is. Flights and the price of flights seems to have trebled from what I can see for this time of year, even though we're going into the holiday season now. But it looks like this is because they're only allowing one or two people per aisle on the seats in aircraft. So it's all very interesting and fascinating, but it's a psychological operation. And of course, the main problem is the financial coup that is going on. Meanwhile, in Ireland, Anti-Corruption Ireland, you may remember, we had John Waters, who also works with Gemma O'Doherty for Anti-Corruption Ireland. They had a court case where they were trying to challenge these lockdown laws, and they were unsuccessful in the respect that the judge would not hear their argument. The actual case was presented very, very well by a barrister, but it wasn't heard, and it was basically thrown out. And they were treated, yes, with contempt by the court. But they are actually having gatherings in Ireland, in Dundalk and Athlone, where John Waters and Gemma will be meeting fellow patriots to discuss the ongoing assault on their constitutional rights. So good on them. So they are actually having meetups on the beach. Meanwhile, in Britain, there have been a lot of people out and about. Beaches are looking packed, so that is a good thing. I've got a special guest today, and as these shows fly over so quickly, I'm going to introduce him now. Tim Sanders from the UK, are you there?
I am. Hi, Mark.
Great. Hi, Tim. So Hi. We met several years ago at the Occupy St. Paul's, which was part of this Occupy movement, which was taken over in the end by George Soros money. But in the beginning, the concerns of Occupy at St. Paul's. We're all about the financial system. And I saw you speaking down there. So introduce yourself, Tim.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. I became involved in Occupy when I saw the devastation that it caused on the economy, on people's lives, and the lack and of action taken by the world governments and the legal authorities on basically the banksters who had caused this. And that, on my background, I'm a chartered accountant by training. I've been involved in finance for 30 years. I have a good degree in economics. I have a good understanding of the financial world. And I felt it was probably, it concerned me that I was staring at probably one of the greatest cover-ups in history. 10 years, 12 years later after the event, no one ever went to jail. None of the measures that they talked about were implemented. The banks have got bigger. The derivative positions have got bigger. The loan books have got bigger. And we are now, although COVID-19 has acted as a trigger, the problems that occurred in 2008, which were never solved, are now potentially going to cause a depression, the like of which may even dwarf the 1930s. And that is why sort of, you know, my relationship with over the years, you know, the actions we didn't take in 2008 that the Occupy movement recommended have now come back to bite us. And COVID-19 is merely a trigger that has caused, but has set off essentially a banking collapse across the world that we haven't yet felt the full effect of.
Yeah, this is absolutely fascinating. I was looking at the CEPS.eu site. Basically, I've been looking at Strategic Intelligence today, which is the World Economic Forum site, and I got to this link, and it's got post-COVID asset purchases. The European Central Bank launched $750 billion pandemic emergency purchase program, which will last until the coronavirus crisis period is over. But they're telling us it's not going to be over for years and probably never. We're hearing this coming out of the media, aren't we? So this is incredible. It says, in any case, at least until the end of 2020. The assets to be bought under the PEPP are mostly the same. The biggest chunk goes to national and regional government bonds, including for the first time Greek sovereign debt, supranational debt, and various types of private sector bonds. Unlike the APP, it will also buy commercial paper-issued non-financial corporations. The PEPP is exceptional, designed specifically to address the issue of the pandemic, the ECB says. And if you look at their balance sheet, it's about twice the amount of the Federal Reserve now. It's quite incredible what's going on. Are you aware of all this?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. And these were, you know, the recommendations of the 2009-10 Occupy movement, which was a collective of, you know, many types of people, both sort of ordinary working class, middle class people, academics, people involved in finance, etc., was to basically break up the big banks. Bring back the Glass-Steagall Act, which has separated private money from the investors' money, implement regulatory reform, which actually Jeremy Corbyn, in his perspective, was advocating, criminal offences for the banksters, basically, for what they had done, which none of this was implemented. And we've moved to a stage now that certain events, I think, have triggered what we've seen. The global elite became concerned about the growing power of China, that was threatening the, I guess, the hegemony of the West, both economically and military. And they knew they had to act fast if they wanted to have a global reserve currency. So they instigated a trade war with China. But late last year, people weren't aware of this, which I found fascinating, because no mainstream media reporting was mentioning this, that the actual global financial system was teetering on the verge of collapse due to the debt levels. They reached extreme critical levels. And this led to the Federal Reserve with emergency intervention into what they call the repo markets, which means that the internight bank lending had frozen. So the banks didn't trust each other. So the Fed had to inject billions into this banking system. So even late last year, unbeknownst to the public, there was a great liquidity crisis in the central banking, in the banking system. So what You know, this is conjecture, but given that the banking system was on the verge of a collapse, they needed a scapegoat, and they just played what I call their trump card, and they unleashed this virus. Beyond the effect of wounding the Chinese economy, which I think was one of the prime objectives, it served the advantage because it triggered a market crash that they could blame on the virus and gave them the perfect excuse to bail out the elite institutions like the banks and the big corporations at the public expense. So I think in March 2020 of this year, you had a 2.6 trillion. I just view listeners need to understand trillion. If you can imagine American debt in 1980, accumulated over 200 years, was 2 trillion. You know, the global elite put 2.6 trillion back, pretty much like the ECB are doing, back into the financial system, of which 66%, two-thirds, went back to the banking, the Wall Street, in essence. So it was a great payday for them under the guise of a virus that was bringing down the system. So at the same time, they introduced the CARES Act on March the 26th in America and the Emergency Powers Act here, which essentially has stripped us of all civil liberties. But importantly, and none of the mainstream press have picked this up, but the CARES Act in America merged the Treasury and the Federal Reserve, such that the Federal Reserve now reports into the Treasury. The Treasury controls the Federal Reserve. And it was the end of fractional reserve banking, such that the capital reserve of banks could be reduced to zero. The implications are such that this can lead to unlimited money printing, which the consequence is at the moment, because we're entering a worldwide economic crash, the velocity of money, the rate people are spending their money is largely zero. So they can keep this hoax going for as long as they can to fund themselves and breed up this global elite base. But consequently, when people realize that things are in short supply, that they're losing their job and the velocity spills up, we move into hyperinflation. So we are at a critical turning point in world history, and I think under the
In your
guise of a
opinion,
fake
Tim,
virus. Yeah.
how long do you think it'll take before we see hyperinflation? Do you have
One
any
maybe a
ideas?
year, one year, 1 or 2 years, and maybe over the next 12 months' time. As the key will be the velocity of money as people start to spend that money on a reduced supply of goods. Remember, there's no freight or transport coming through. Manufacturers are shutting down. So, in essence, if you think simply, there's more money chasing fewer and fewer goods, which is, of course, is inflation. But the elites have served their goal. They've bankrupted the world economy. And under the CARES Act, it's really important that what this does is allow the banks to lend to corporations. And you think, oh, that's really great, fantastic. Except the taxpayer, the government, guarantees that loan. So, say we, the government, you know, the bank lends 100 million, and that company goes bust, and the assets are worth 40 million. The taxpayer picks up the £60 million debt. So the taxpayer, the average working person, is saddled with an extra 60 million of debt. And that leaves a 40 million asset base for going into the insolvency practitioner. The question is, who then picks up those assets? Well, that would be the private equity, probably the hedge funds, the same people who caused it. So we're moving to, the global elites creating a world ruled by central banks and mega corporations, with the destruction of small and medium businesses, which is one of the aims.
Exactly what's happened, and of course the leisure industry's collapsed. It's very, very disturbing that we've got airlines now who are on their knees, and this has happened within a couple of months. I mean, there hasn't been anything like this. And what I find very disturbing, we were talking about this early on, is the public reaction to it in the UK. People, because they are being so-called furloughed and they are having their wages paid for a couple of months, I don't think a lot of them are taking it very seriously. And this seems to be kind of all round. I mean, there's people I speak to like yourself, and I have a group of people over here and also in Ireland, and indeed around the world, who are quite aware of what's going on. But the general population in this country, I think they really do believe that it's going to go back to normal.
Yeah, I think this is, chatting to you earlier, Mark, I think the service we can only do the public is to awake them to the essentially the theft of what is happening and the movement to a neo-feudal society. These elites, the global elite, will be rich beyond measure, while 99% of the world is going to really suffer. And I'm afraid, you know, your point about earlier about airlines, I mean, the days of mass travel are over. The airline and tourism industries have been destroyed, and large parts of what survives of these industries are going to be nationalized, largely to serve the purposes of executive travel. So unfortunately for all the listeners out there, if all those trips you have planned in your retirement or whatever, I'm afraid, like Mark said, the costs of flights are going to be extortionate. All because really of a fake pandemic. You know, I don't dispute there was a virus, but it was not a pandemic. And even with the Spanish flu in 1918 to 20, which caused a higher outbreak of deaths, they didn't shut down the economy. They didn't shut down the economy in 1968 for the Hong Kong flu. Why did they do it this time? So we are moving into a really, I mean, I want to term the New World Order. We are moving. The old world order is disappearing. We are moving into a new feudalistic world. And that
this has really kind of speeded things up, Tim. I mean, the new Green Deal had nothing on this. And no. The Agenda 21 plans, Agenda 2030, that we've been talking about, going round the country, doing talks, trying to alert the public and farmers about what's going on. The whole thing has now been dwarfed by what's happened since, in the past couple of months, because in a way there's no point going around talking about Agenda 21 anymore, because it's here. And you're saying about, yeah, the 99% are going to be impoverished, which was the whole purpose of sustainable development, this mixture of fake environmentalism on one hand and development on the other, which is the banks. And this all came out of the Rio conference in 92, and it didn't really get going and speeded up till 2002, and then of course we had the Paris Accord and all the rest of it. And all this stuff was done in graduation. It was done slowly, but this is audacious, is the word I keep using. It's the audacity of it which is kind of breathtaking, and the public reaction to it, which is also breathtaking, but in a different kind of way.
I agree, Mark. I mean, I remember, I mean, I'm a Brexiter at heart, and I was there on January the 31st at the celebration in Parliament Square. And a few of my friends said, you seem a bit down, Tim. And I said, you know what? I just got a bad feeling we're gonna pay for this. And I had a feeling that, because in a way, Brexit was not what really the global elites had planned, because they want a federal world, a federal Europe, the 10 kingdoms, as they call it. We were going to pay for this. And I would have never in a million years got this one. And the speed and the advance of it is incredible. And what was interesting, a journalist friend of mine said, for the first time in history, just stand back and look at the mainstream media's newspaper lead stories. He said they're all the same. They're all the same song. There's no dissonance. There's no, you know, where the Daily Express may take a more Brexiters view, or the Daily Mail might be more to the right. And the guy, he said, no, the same story, just with different wording. He said, that's never really happened. And I think that's confused the British public. And obviously the BBC prints out its propaganda, dispels its propaganda daily. And it's led to an app, you know, for the first time, the mainstream media is singing from the same hymn, whether it's left or right of the media. It's the same hymn sheet. And that's why people are so confused.
Yeah, there's no voice of dissent at all, or even opposition. So even the idea of creating the fake left and the fake right is of no purpose anymore, because there's one narrative. It's us against the virus. Health Secretary Matt Hancock said the UK may review fines given to families who breach lockdown to get childcare. He says it comes after a UK minister quit over the actions of top aide Dominic Cummings. We're going to come back to this after the break. Do call in if you want. It's 800 313 9443, and with Tim Sanders. And we're talking COVID-19, the psychological operation, and the meltdown of the world economy.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. It has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract has got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356, or shoot him an email at domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm Mark Windows. My special guest today is Tim Sanders. We talked previously in the first half of the show about Occupy and what's happened since then. The banks are looting like never before, and Tim is very experienced on this side of things. But there has been a story in the last day or so about this Dominic Cummings, the Prime Minister's chief advisor, who broke lockdown rules. He said he does not regret driving 260 miles from London during the coronavirus lockdown. He revealed he had told Boris Johnson when he decided to take his family to County Durham after his wife developed COVID-19 symptoms. Now, this would be a yawn non-story, apart from the fact that it's been blown up out of all proportion. But there are some interesting aspects to it. So what's your take on this, Tim?
I think in terms of the story of going to his parents and his child being ill, I agree. It's partly a non-story. And to be honest, who hasn't breached one of the regulations? Because they are vague. And at that point, I'd leave it, except Barnard Castle's very interesting. It throws a spanner into the works of the stories. Listeners may not be aware that Barnard Castle is not only a tourist attraction. It's the research centre for GlaxoSmithKline Beecham.
Tim, people might not know what the Barnard Castle reference is about. He actually said that he drove to Barnard Castle, I think, from his parents, because his eyes were faulty and he thought there was something wrong with his eyes, which begs the question of why did he get in the car and drive in the first place? But that none of this makes sense. But yeah, just to back that up, Tim.
Yeah, and it was a 60-mile drive, by the way. That's my understanding from his parents' house. So, I mean, exactly. It's a strange one. So why drive to Barnard Castle? And he said he was there for 15. My understanding, he said he was there for a short time. Although one of the witnesses said he was there for a lot longer. And when approached, he sort of said, "I recognise you." And Cummings dashed off in his car. But why is Barnard Castle important? Well, it is the research centre for, as I was saying, GlaxoSmithKline Beecham. Now, what's interesting on the 14th of April, if you listeners may not be aware, but my understanding, and this is just breaking news, it's just beginning to be investigated, is that GlaxoSmithKline was handed the contract for the vaccination for COVID-19. So what, you might say? Well, from a purely economic point of view, you may not be aware that Bill Gates was interviewed at Davos. You can probably see this on, I think, quite a few shows like the Dollar Vigilante. Yeah. They produce that. But he basically talked about the basic economics of vaccines, and they have around a 2,000% profit margin. So if you're involved in that industry, it is unbelievably profitable. So the question is, what was Cummings doing there at the same time that the next day Glaxo gets awarded the COVID-19 vaccination procurement by the government?
It's an odd thing for him to mention, but in actual fact, we have to look at this sort of press conference that he gave. It was very shambolic, and he was stuttering about all over the place. It was a bit like a less functional Boris Johnson in a respect, because when Boris is under pressure, he goes, "Well, as you know, I mean, I was there. Yeah, I was definitely. Oh, yes. And he puts on this very authoritative kind of bullshitting kind of
psychology to sort of fool you.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. But Cummings just looked like somebody who was in shock and been caught doing something wrong. You know, it wasn't very impressive, was it?
Yeah, no, exactly. So I think this is a story that's going to develop. I think, obviously on social media, it's picking up now. What exactly was Cummings doing there the next day, you know, Glaxo being awarded the vaccine contract, which will be unbelievably profitable. You're talking hundreds of millions if you're doing mass vaccinations, which goes back to, well, who's behind the Max vaccinations? Well, we know it's Bill Gates. And who does Bill Gates sponsor, etc.? We know that he's got his tentacles everywhere. So it's interesting. There is under the Freedom of Information Act, I think it's on May the 19th. It was May the 19th that you can see that the government, Boris, had a call with Bill and Melinda Gates. So I don't know. You know, this is
well,
just
the extent of the involvement in all this, Tim, is quite incredible, isn't it? Because when you look at the connections these people have got, I mean, there's nobody in the British government who's behind this and backing it who hasn't got their nose in the trough somewhere. It's either with vaccines or with big pharma or with something else. I mean, we've already looked at Matt Hancock. We've covered a lot of this stuff over the last few weeks. In a way, it's a bit kind of fatiguing because there's been so many intrigues with this so far. And the daily kind of output of the media is so tiresome. And we get these stories now, as you were saying, it's all the same narrative. And then there's something that's thrown in, which is kind of like a curveball. And it's something that is really kind of dramatic. And they throw these in as well. So I've kind of got a bit fatigued with a lot of this stuff. But it does say here that the tourist hotspot of Barnard Castle, he said about this that I wasn't sightseeing. So, I mean, that's a funny thing to say, isn't it? That you go somewhere that's got these connections and then you let slip that you weren't sightseeing. That's a bit odd as well.
It's a Freudian slip, isn't it? Why would you drive 60 miles to some, I guess, probably, I mean, you know, I don't know the northeast that well. Whoops.
Very intriguing stuff. I'm with Tim Sanders. We're talking COVID-19, the pandemic, the beneficial crisis. Yeah, call in if you want. 800-313-9443. This is Windows on the World. Mark Windows here from windowsontheworld.net. Check out the show. See you after break. Mm-hmm.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Back to Windows on the World. I'm Mark Windows. WindowsOnTheWorld.net. Check out our other shows. Of course, I'm here at RBN on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 2 p.m. Central Time. And we do a show on Sunday night as well in the UK, UK time, 9:30 p.m. And also, we do a live stream during the week on YouTube while we're still there. Unfortunately, I tried to monetize my videos a few months ago, and now they've all been demonetized. So we get nothing from Google. Well, we do, actually. We get our videos taken down. So I've just having a look in the break at something else on the World Economic Forum website. It says, how to tackle the global undercount in COVID-19 deaths. Reporters offer tips and techniques. Now, this is kind of interesting when you consider what the World Economic Forum are actually up to with this site. It's called Strategic Intelligence, and I've been covering it with people like Vicky Davis, actually, on the RBN shows about how this is put together. And it's almost like it's being engineered in real time. We're in the middle of an exercise which is being updated in real time daily. It's quite incredible. We covered this a couple of weeks ago with Vicky Davis, and we were talking about how deep this website goes. The layers of it are absolutely incredible. But basically what they're trying to say in this article is that the COVID deaths are being so underreported, the press has to do something about it. Now, this is a real problem, because what we have in the world today is kind of a dearth of journalism. In the UK, we have the allowed voice of dissent, and he's called Peter Hitchens. He's allowed to rail against things and saying we're losing all our civil liberties, but he never actually gets to the point of what this is about or who's doing it, which is why he's the allowed voice of dissent. But what we have is these trained kind of communitarians who have gone through these mentoring programs in universities. And a lot of these are being funded by people like Soros, the Sigrid Rousing Trust. And it's what we would call neoliberal or fake leftist. Doesn't really matter. The terms don't mean a damn thing anymore. But the point is that we can't trust anything in the media. And what I had a huge problem with was when I started looking at the real statistics, which I was being given by people within the NHS for COVID-19 deaths and what they were doing with the deaths. And then we have our own government saying that people are going to be listed as COVID-19 deaths if they die of something else, but they may have coronavirus in them, or they may be assumed to have coronavirus. So none of this is acceptable. We can't accept what we're being told at all. And of course, once you start bringing this up, you're a conspiracy theorist. And somebody actually did this today. I don't go on Facebook very much, but it was about what was happening on the island of Anglesey in Wales. And they were saying, oh, we've been left behind with the testing. I said, well, the tests don't test for COVID-19 because they can't. There isn't a test for COVID-19. And then they put pictures of tinfoil hats and you think, this is a real problem, because when the public are now confronted with a fact, they go conspiracy theorist. And of course, that's easy to take apart, but it's extremely disturbing. And we have this thing in the UK where every Thursday, 8 p.m, people go outside their houses and bang pots and pans and start clapping for the NHS. Now, this is some kind of childlike communistic nightmare that we're in. And people are actually doing it. And the same people who are doing that have 5-foot plasma screens on their walls, and they're believing all this stuff and calling everything outside the accepted narrative a conspiracy theory, which I think is what we were referring to at the beginning of the show, Tim. I mean, in your circle, obviously you're mixing with quite educated people, I would think, but what are you finding with your family? Do you find that there's resistance to this, and how difficult is it to get them actually to believe anything?
Yeah, I would say there was resistance in the beginning. And when I try to say to people, you know, there's more to this than I think the mainstream media is peddling. And I think because maybe for one of the first times in history, the mainstream media is totally producing the same narrative and there's no dissonance. It's hard to believe that anyone who's not studied, you know, what's really going on could feel that, you know, believe that everyone is lying to us. You have to be wrong. No, there must be someone who's going to say the truth. And to try and explain that 96% of the world media is owned by 5 corporations, people just look at you and don't believe you. But, you know, what I find is that when you say something and then someone else might back up what you say, it creates a dissonance in people's minds and they start to investigate further. So certainly through friends and family, you know, they are becoming more open, and they're also beginning to sense there's something just not right here. That it just doesn't feel right. You know, to me, a pandemic is, if I look down my road, I probably know 3 or 4 people have been wheeled out in death bags. I don't mean that more morbidly, but, you know, and you know, I can see people dying around me. And then I begin, wow, this is like the bubonic plague of the 13th century. I don't know anyone who's died of it. And the statistics bear out that below 60, maybe, don't quote me, but the ONS, it's just, I think it's about 700 people. Is that enough to shut down an economy? I'm not denying there is a virus. I'm not denying that there has been an outbreak of a COVID-19 illness, but I don't class this as a pandemic under that definition.
Well, officially, under the real term of a pandemic, there had to be 12% of populations infected. And of course, it was nothing like that. So they just changed the meaning of pandemic through the World Health Organization website. And they just announced it was a pandemic. Well, this is incredible. And now we're hearing that UK has the highest deaths in the world. Well, there's a very good reason for that, because we've got an aging population. A lot of those are in old people's homes. And this virus was introduced into those old people's homes. This is a known thing. It was introduced through people who were infected into old people's homes. And there was no quarantining going on of people who were going in. So, in other words, there seems to be some kind of agenda here, because if we want to go anywhere out of the country, we're going to be quarantined for 14 days. People coming into the country to pick fruit weren't being quarantined, 15,000 a day. And now we have the British government asking for people who are British to go and pick fruit, and none of them seem to be able to get onto the website or get a job. So we're seeing a kind of confusion that's putting the public into this dissonance, and it's really hard to actually find out what's going on unless you go to places like the World Economic Forum website and you look at what they're trying to manufacture out of this crisis, or this created crisis. But yes, I know of three or four people who've been in hospital and have had COVID-19 put on death certificates. And I've seen many posts on social media, very disturbing, about elderly people going into hospital, people going into hospital with other conditions and having COVID-19 put on the death certificate. Well, this is scandalous. But yeah, it's something that's well known. It's widely known.
Yeah, I agree, Mark. And I think to be fair, you know, the listeners can go into the ONS, the government statistical analysis, and actually look at the distribution of COVID-19 deaths across the age ranges. And what really shocked me was the percentage deaths below 60. I think below 15, I think there's maybe 4 deaths. I think below, as you get to 45, is maybe a few hundred. And then below 60, there's about 700. The proportion of deaths, the skew of it, is in the above 70, above 80 and 90. That's where you get in the distribution of deaths, which is in the care homes. But didn't Boris particularly want people being put in these care homes? Hasn't he opened them up for infection? Was this a deliberate government policy, I have to ask, to inflate the numbers, to inflate the figures? So, you know, the working population is essentially below 60. Why would you stop a global, you know, the fifth largest economy in the world, plus the world economy? Why would you stop it working? You know, we've got to understand that there are 8.5 million people on furlough at the moment. There's 2 million unemployed. When these people come off furlough, I'm afraid a lot of people, it's a beautiful weather out there, they're getting 80% of their income, they may not be coming back to jobs. And I think then we are entering a very dangerous phase in society. People may get very, very angry. That, you know, what did I lose my livelihood and my, you know, everything, my job and everything for really what they don't perceive as a pandemic.
Yeah. And of course, the language is being implanted into them. These really creepy terms are becoming the norm, the new normal, social distancing, lockdown. I mean, lockdown. We know that this came out of a Rockefeller document in 2014, lockstep and lockdown. But to actually be using these terms lockdown, this is what happens when there is a military coup. You have a lockdown, martial law. So they're using the terms of a military coup.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's the whole thing about it. It's once we start looking at the terminology, you realize that this is way beyond what they're saying it is. Mainly as a psychological operation. And I think we talked about that before the show.
Yeah. And one of the things that's really baffled me is that, you know, on June the 15th, retailers can open, etc. But I mean, it's a small point, but hairdressers cannot open till July the 4th. And my wife's hairdresser, you know, obviously for women, it's probably harder than men, says, look, there's no way I can come and cut your hair. And she showed the instructions by the Hairdressers Association, basically saying you will lose your insurance and will never work again if we find you working before the July the 4th. Why is that important? It psychologically starts to break you if you haven't had a haircut for about 5 months. And particularly for a woman, they haven't had their hair done, etc. It starts to break you. It starts to... there's a very famous story when Stalin was with his generals and they asked him, well, how do you control the population? And he said, well, here's a chicken. And he ruthlessly tore out the chicken's feathers and plucked it almost bare. So there was blood everywhere. And the chicken was, screaming in pain. And then he gave him some feed and the chicken followed him around. And he said, that's how you do it. You strip all the rights, but you just give a little bit of hope. And that is what I think, the silly thing like hairdressers taking away the ability to go and watch football or whatever sport you love, slowly just takes away your feeling of being a human being. And you just plead for anything that gets you out of this. And I think that is the frightening thing I foresee coming, that people's spirit is so broken that they may succumb to the mandatory vaccine comes, or whatever the next agenda is, that they're so broken that they will just go with it.
Well, this is a very good point. I mean, the thing about haircuts is kind of basic, but it's funny and it's not funny, because if you look at the government YouTube channel, there are hundreds of people saying when are the hairdressers going to be out, because everyone's got long hair. I'm laughing at it, but it's not funny, you know. I mean, and I'm really bad at cutting my own hair, you know.
Yeah.
And it has a certain standard to it. It's now looking sort of aristocratically kind of scruffy. But give it another week, and it's going to be out of control. And I'm going to start cutting holes in it, and it's going to start looking ridiculous, you know. But that is a great point, because loads of people were actually saying that, you know, when are the barbers and the hairdressers going to be open? It's just incredible, this, really. I mean, it's on so many levels. It's a bit like this World Economic Forum strategic intelligence website, which is about 200 layers deep. There's so many layers to what's going on. But what's really fascinating and disturbing about this is that they seem to have factored everything in, because it's almost like nothing's been left out to chance.
There is the famous Rockefeller document of 2010, wasn't there? But apparently goes to, I have to be fair, I haven't read it in detail. I've just watched sort of presentations about it. But it basically goes into every algorithm and every event and that could occur, and has an answer.
Yes, I did actually cover that. I think it came out about 2010. Yes. And it's got four different options, and lockstep seems to be the one that we're in. It had these sort of different options. But when this started, it was stated that different countries would be expected to react differently. And it's interesting, actually, years ago, General Konstantin Petrov, I think he died in 2009, I looked at a lot of his stuff and I translated it, because he knew a lot about this global governance system. And he was saying that the result of the Rio conference in 92 was very little happened when they were bringing in this sustainable development global action plan under environmentalism. But by 2002, the world banks and the financial institutions got together and say, we will look after everything that affects the livelihood of people if you give us undivided control of everything. And this is what's happened, because when we started looking at the Agenda 21 policies in London, we then find that by 2014, pretty much all of it sold off to organizations and corporations like Lendlease. Lendlease ended up owning 50% of a huge London borough called Haringey. They fought this in the court, but all the infrastructure was taken over. And so this has been a kind of long-term plan, but the audacity of the implementation is staggering to me. But I'll look at all these different aspects of it. And yes, indeed, everything seems to have been looked into. But what he was saying was that there's a multipolar world now, and everyone appears to be doing their own thing. And the thing about it is, of course, that governance is unstructured to the general public, so they don't see it. They think those people in Parliament are running things, and, of course, they're not, are they?
No, they're not. No, they're totally not. And ultimately, you know, I think above the governments of the world sits a greater authority. Essentially, I call it the global elite, you know, the global banking institutions. They largely dictate policy. And if policy doesn't go their way, they twist the agenda, and they both control the left and right narrative in the world. I think we've had 50 years of a dumbing down of the education system, such that people rote learn and don't really think anymore. And they don't perceive, you know, that there's anything going wrong, and they just take what they're told as fact, but they don't question anything. And that's allowed the elitists to essentially enforce this agenda on us.
It was a phrase that came out in 2016. It was called the post-truth world, and it was printed in the Guardian newspaper, which is basically an arm of British intelligence. Well, British and intelligence don't go together anymore. They used to at the beginning of the century, I think, but they've separated now. But I'm not talking about the English, Irish, Scots or Welsh here. I'm talking about this group called the British, who are into psychological warfare programming and all the rest of it. And that particular group, who we're still talking about now, the descendants of those people are who we're really talking about at the top of this, because it all came out of social Darwinism and this idea that there was some kind of elite thinking. But in a way, what you're saying is very interesting, because people have a post-truth kind of view of things, what they do is they tend to resort to emotion and belief over fact. So if you give them a fact, they might retort with something like, well, I prefer not to see it that way, or not in my world, I don't see it like that. In other words, it's how you perceive something that's what makes it real, and that is incredibly difficult and disturbing to deal with, I think.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Mark Twain said it's easier to tell someone they've been a fool than to tell them they've been fooled. And I think this is where we're at, to tell people everything you believed, everything you've understood.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Tim. It flies over this show.
It does,
Windows
doesn't it?
The world. Yeah. I'm Mark Windows here on RBN, 2 p.m. Central, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 9 p.m. UK time, which would be 3 o'clock for you, on Sunday nights. Oh, 9:30, actually. It would be 3:30. See you after the break. We'll sum up.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Welcome back to Windows on the World. I'm Mark Windows. Today I'm talking to Tim Sanders, coming to you from the UK, giving you a perspective of what's going on here and beyond. So, Tim, yeah, we're going to kind of sum up what we've been talking about today. And I think in the break you were putting across a few good points, so go for it.
Well, I think, Mark, I always, you know, I'd hear with you that for all the listeners, please, please, you know, don't believe mainstream media is telling you the truth. you know, you don't have to believe what we're saying. What I'm asking is that go and do your research. Amazingly, it will be on Google. It will be still, while it's still kept on YouTube, there are some, you know, some great speakers saying the same narrative. But what we're going through is this isn't normal. This is planned. This is not a pandemic. I don't deny there's a virus and it has caused deaths, etc. I don't deny that, but it's not a pandemic. But it's more, you need to look beyond to the devastation of the world economy. And for many listeners, they may be complacent, thinking it's coming back in September. This is great. I don't want to ruin the party, but it ain't coming back. It's not coming back.
I think we've
got
a pretty educated audience for RBN, Tim. Listenership seems to be very switched on. And that's, well, it's a shame in a way that we can't get out to more people who need to hear this information. I mean, our numbers on Windows on the World and our shows are growing. There's no doubt about that, but it's a slow growth. But that means that the people who are listening are quality listeners. They're not listening to it in a flippant kind of way, looking for, oh, yeah, is it about UFOs this week, or is it about this, or is it about... We're pretty focused on what we put out, and it's very information heavy. So that's good, but it's very discouraging when you see the general malaise of the public, as you were saying, because this is a psychological operation. And I think at this time, it's very important to be mentally strong. Ever since this started, I felt fortified by it, and I'm absolutely focused. I feel like I can't take my eye off the ball. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, no. I think we're in an amazing part of history. Not necessarily a good part of history, but we're in an amazing part of history. I never believed in my lifetime this would happen. I always understood that there was a global elite agenda for essentially a new structure of society. I never really understood how they'd implement it, because I thought people would throw out resistance. There's a thing called democracy, but this caught me totally by surprise. My worry is this is stage one, and this is testing our compliance, the ability of the state to control us. They're monitoring us, they're watching how compliant are we. But at the same time, you know, you've got the devastation of the world economy taking place. And for many people, unfortunately, they are going to lose their jobs. They are going to lose livelihoods, and there won't be jobs necessarily to come back to. They're going to have to rethink how they're going to work. But it also means that they can essentially then be controlled. So at this stage we're at, all I plead is people do their own research, think, talk to other people, raise awareness, because for the future generations, we are entering into a very dark period. If we don't stand up and inform people and try and change things while we've got time. I don't know if we can. I really don't know. But this is only stage one. That's how I think my conclusion is. We are not going back to a normal.
Well, they're talking about that. Yeah, they are talking about that, Tim, that we're going to enter phase two, and it's all planned out, and they're going for it in real time. But yes, I think that in the States, there are many switched on people. In the UK, we are having a bit of an uphill struggle. There are things going on in different parts of the world. It's a multipolar operation, and it's mainly psychological. Thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in today. Do join me on my shows. Go to windowsontheworld.net and listen to our other shows. Help us out on Patreon or PayPal if you can. We're here for you. So that's it until Thursday. Thanks to Tim. And
thank you, Matt.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. 2 p.m. Central Time. Windows on the World. RBN. Thursday.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filtering filters, blocked sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.